The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1.
At 9.36, I want to say good morning to Ethna O'Halloran. Good morning, Ethna.
Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
And
great to speak to you.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you as well.
Right, you're in one of my favourite parts of the world, which is, are you in Letterfrack or Clifton or whereabouts?
I work here in Kylemore. I'm from my yard, which is, you know, halfway between Clifton and Letterfrack. So a nice spot to be in.
No doubt about it. And tonight we'll all be watching at 8:30 on RT1 as we watch the great Irish interiors look at Kylemore Abbey, which is... I mean, it's one of the most stunning places as you're passing by on that road to pause, look out and see. Can you describe the building to us before we get into the results?
The building, well, for anyone who doesn't know Kylemore, it really is very stunning. Like even, you know, I've lived here all my life and everyone who works here, we still will walk out in the evenings after you could be working really hard all day. And it's still just absolutely gorgeous. It's a baronial castle, like so a very romantic looking castle, and it's perched on the edge of a lake. And it's positioned exactly so that on the right day when the lake is still, there'll be a mirror reflection across the lake. And that's what people love. And it's an image that's known all over the world as well. Even if people don't know what the building is, they know the image of it. It's just so stunning looking.
Imagine going to school there. I mean, that must have been something.
Yes, it was, yeah. People often say to me it must have been like Hogwarts, but it kind of was a little bit because it was a very kind of a magical place to go to school. And even if you can imagine all the corridors and all the stairwells running up through the building here, and there's lots of turrets, it's all castellated. So it's, you know, it was a very magical, kind of mysterious place to go to school.
You were there as a day pupil, were you? What year were we talking about, just to give us a...
So I finished in 1992. And so I was here during the 80s, obviously.
Yeah.
And but my mother also went to school here. My mother is 90 now.
Oh.
So she went to school here in the 1930s. And then all my aunts and older sisters went to school here as well.
Because I seem to recall that it was there was a lot of kind of exotic students from around the world who would come to this this school. Was it a 50-50 sort of split, was it?
It was about 50-50, which makes it even more unusual. So it was an international girls' boarding school. We actually had three princesses who went to school here, and they were daughters of, nieces, of the Maharaja who owned nearby Ballinahinch Castle, which I'm sure you know.
Not only do I know, but I'm always intrigued by the Indian connection between Ballinahinch Castle and indeed now Kylemore. I didn't make that that the princesses went there.
So we have a strong link to Ranji and Ballinahinch as well. And the girls came here for quite a few years. They did quite a bit of their schooling here. And there's a lot of photographs in our archives of them. So the other girls wore their traditional school uniforms, but the princesses wore their beautiful saris, their beautiful gold nose rings. And they seemed to fit in really well. And even for generations kind of after the princesses left, there was always stories about them. And my mother remembers when she was a girl that many of their saris were in the dressing up boxes for the plays when they had the plays here at Kylemore.
And the local students would have been like a public school, in the sense that it was free schooling, I take it. And then the international students would have been probably a different story.
Different story, yeah. So the international students would have been fee-paying. And then we always had boarders as well from all over Ireland as well. So there was a lot of Irish girls, a lot of Dublin girls. But in my time, the international girls were predominantly from South America, North America, a lot of Spanish, Italian girls. And a lot of them were coming here kind of as like a finishing school.
Yeah.
It was a Catholic school. They were coming to learn English. But the American girls would do their SATs here as well. And then it did run side by side as a state school as well. So we all were schooled together, basically.
Beautiful. Now, let's get down to the business of Kylemore itself. Before it was an abbey, it was a big grand house for whom and built when and why?
So it was a castle. The foundation stone was laid in 1867. And it was built by an Englishman called Mitchell Henry. So he was of Irish parentage. And their family really made huge money in England, in Manchester, in the manufacturing industries. And Mitchell and Margaret are supposed to have came here on their honeymoon. And they fell in love just with this area, in particular the Kylemore Pass, and there was a little hunting and fishing lodge here at that time, which possibly they stayed in at the time. But Henry apparently promised Margaret, his wife, that if he ever came into real money, he would buy her a castle in Connemara. So Kylemore was this castle. So he basically bought up parcels of land from the landowners in the area to create the big 13,000-acre estate. And they began work then here in 1867. And there would have been nothing like this scene in this area before then. It would have just been absolutely astounding to people. Because as well as the castle here, and Henry called this castle, he called the estate of every modern innovation. And he had every modern innovation here. And then he had two beautiful model farms, and then the fantastic Victorian wall gardens as well over the road from us.
And did they get much chance to enjoy it together if he was doing it for the for Margaret?
We believe they were very happy in the early years, but it's quite a tragic story, really, because Margaret only enjoyed it for a few years because she died very soon after, about 3 or 4 years after they moved in here. She died while they were on family holiday in Egypt. Mm. Now, you can imagine what travelling to Egypt would have been like that time for these upper-class families. So Thomas Cook actually were already out there, and there was a big system of resorts, beautiful steamships cruising up and down the Nile, and the Henrys were on one of these very luxurious holidays. But Margaret Henry contracted dysentery, so would have been maybe from contaminated drinking water, and she died. So he was left then with his 9 children to continue on here at Kylemore. And Kylemore, you have to bear in mind as well, was their kind of second home. Their really palatial home was over in London near the Houses of Parliament. Right. And this was their cosy country getaway that they came to, really.
The size of it for a country getaway. But anyway, it's a handy old, not too shabby for a B&B for you, I suppose, of a weekend.
All, yeah.
So why did he then sell it on?
What happened then was he got very, very heavily involved in Irish politics, and that's where all his energy went to. He was a founder member of the Irish Home Rule Party, and he was really, really passionate about that. So you can imagine he was travelling back and over from Connemara over to Parliament. Mm. There were very contentious times, obviously, in politics. Mm-hmm. And gradually his money started to drain away. Then also they suffered another great tragedy on the estate here. His beautiful daughter, Geraldine, was killed in an accident on the road down to Rinvale House. She was thrown from a carriage.
God, okay.
And her little daughter was travelling in the carriage with her, and her nanny. They were all thrown from the carriage. But the little daughter, Elizabeth, survived, and Elizabeth's descendants still come back to visit us here today. But Henry himself, sorry to cut a long story short, he ran out of money, basically, and he was forced to auction the house by 1902. But he sold it on to another very, very interesting character, because by then it went to the 9th Duke of Manchester. I don't know if you've heard about this character. So the Duke was the absolute antithesis, really, to Mitchell Henry. He married an American heiress called Helena Zimmerman, and they were a very kind of modern, young, glamorous couple. We kind of like to think that they brought the Edwardian era in with them to Kylemore, and they did loads of renovations here. But the Duke was a bit of a cad, to call him, you know, to use a nice term for him, really. He was always in money troubles, and he always, scandal was always kind of following fairly close behind him. But they were here for about 10 years. They were reasonably well liked in the area, and the Duchess herself was very well liked. And she actually drove a Daimler very fast along the little laneways around Kylemore here. And she became quite well liked by the local people. But they too left under kind of a cloud of debt. And there's a story that goes around that they lost the card game, that the Duke lost the card game, or lost the castle in a card game here one night. But we think maybe that's more a good story.
To the story if it adds to the kind of the bit of glam. So they lost the house ultimately, the Manchester. So they were gone, and in comes the nuns then, is it?
The nuns didn't arrive then until 1920.
Right.
So that means that yesterday was the beginning of the nuns' centenary year here at Kylemore. So this is going to be a big year for them as well. So their story as well is very interesting, which these are all the different stories we tell here at Kylemore. They were an ancient Irish order, and their abbey was in Ypres in Belgium. Mm. So their abbey then was bombed in the early months of World War One, and they themselves became refugees and they fled Belgium. So they headed back for Ireland, and they were looking to create a permanent home in Ireland. And you can imagine at that time in 1920, there was a lot of these big houses becoming empty around the country. And Kylemore came up for sale again. And so the nuns managed to take out a mortgage and to buy Kylemore. Now, they actually had to get special dispensation from Rome because they were an enclosed order, which meant that any of the nuns entering the abbey in Ypres, once they went in under the gate into the enclosed abbey, they never left that abbey again. So when they came here, what they said was that the walls, the 12 Pins mountain range here, that that will become the walls of their abbey, and that's how they got permission to set up their abbey here in Kylemore.
And they lasted, was it 90 years then?
So they're 100 years here now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, but the abbey closed, or at least the school closed 10 years ago, is that right?
Oh, yes. The school closed in 2010 for a number of different reasons. And I think it was really that the nuns, you know, they needed to make a decision at that point whether their future was going to be leading the estate in tourism and welcoming visitors from all over the world, or whether to put all their energy into the school. And either of those paths takes all your energy, really. So so we're taking the tourism path, really. And that is working out very well for us and very well for the local area as well, because we're a big, very big local employer. So it's very important to the area here.
Well, you have people probably working from the old bounder of the Duke and, you know, family, grandparents apparently associated with Kylemore for years and years, decades.
Well, my own grandfather worked for the Duke.
Oh, did he?
And yeah, and he was a gillie for the Duke.
And on the lake.
On the lake here. And he was a gamekeeper. And then when the nuns came along, he was a gamekeeper for the nuns. And he would trap rabbits on the hillside across from Kylemore here.
Amazing.
And so there will be other families as well. And a lot of staff on the estate today are past pupils. It's not just, I'm not the only past pupil. A lot of the staff are the past pupils. And now we're moving into the next generation of staff who they weren't past pupils, but their mums were past pupils here.
Brilliant.
So people have long connections with the building here.
Well, I came across the place, obviously I've been going to and fro for decades now, but when just as the doors opened on the renovation recently, I happened to go in just to see what was happening.
That's right, back in the summer.
Yeah, that's right. And I was really taken aback by the job done on the house. The house. But do we call it a house now or an abbey?
We call it an abbey. So when the nuns arrived in 1920, it changed over from being a castle to an abbey, because wherever the Benedictines live with their abbess or their abbot, that'll become their abbey. So we still refer to it as Kylemore Abbey.
Good on you. And like, I just thought, here's the thing. The treatment of history is either done in a really boring way where children just go, I'd rather poke my eyes out, or it's done really well where you go, I want to know more. You've got this. You've got it right. You've done it really well. I don't know who you talked to or, you know, what museums you went to see before or what have you, because whatever you've done, it's interactive, it's intriguing, and it's fascinating.
Well, that's what you'll see in the programme now tonight, was really about how the approach that we took. And a lot of the programme tonight, the historic interiors, they're focusing a lot on the historical reconstruction of the rooms. So that would have been myself and another lady from Kylemore here, Joanne Smith. She's one of our history guides, but also conveniently for us, she's a historic interiors consultant. So we worked here together as guides, and we were always looking at archive photos and imagining what we would do here at Kylemore if we ever had the opportunity. So we also have an in-house archivist called Dr. Damien Duffy, and he has just this amazing resource, Ryan, of amazing documents and photographs dating right back to the Henrys and also right back to the nuns in Ypres. So it was kind of a combination of bringing all our skills together, all the kind of visions that we had of what could be done at Kylemore. But you know, you're saying there about children and history, Ryan. What we did want to avoid as well, we do have multimedia in the exhibition, but we wanted to avoid the lazy approach, which I think the lazy approach is putting kids onto screens the minute they get inside the door anywhere. Kids love history. At Christmas time here now, we've been running a special History of Christmas tour, and we do a version of it for children. Good. Children love to hear about life in the nursery in a Victorian house and about how children before them lived. Children have a huge capacity for history.
Yes.
And so I don't think that's something that people should underestimate. So we did have a lot of different stories to try and tell with the new exhibition here. So tonight it'll be concentrating on how we tracked down the furniture, the wallpapers, and we really wanted this house to feel as if the families had just gone out for a walk and people were getting to kind of look inside the door while they were gone. So it's a really interesting journey. I think everyone's going to enjoy the show tonight, hopefully.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I think that the historic interiors consultant, what a great job that would be to try and...
I know, how interesting. Yeah.
For authenticity and to get it right. And I love what you just said there, Ethna, about you just wanted it to look like the family went out for a walk before dinner. That's perfect in terms of recreating the original look of the place. So you're really all
and
over.
We always knew that the stories were here in Kylemore. The local people are full of the stories. The guides were full of the stories. But the building itself wasn't really telling the story for itself anymore. But now we feel the building does. And even over the last few weeks, I've spent a lot of time in here over the last few weeks. We've been very busy over the Christmas season. And the feedback we're getting, people are just really engaging with it. And people love... They loved beautiful things, and they loved to see how people lived. They loved to see... We have a collection of Victorian Christmas cards on display at the moment, and people are just fascinated with them. And so it doesn't always have to be all bells and whistles, even though we do have a big multimedia element as well, which people also appreciate. But people love the simple things that really tell the story and kind of evoke the lives of the people who are there before them.
Passion. You've got heaps of passion, and that's exactly what makes the difference between other projects that drift and are just a bit dull and lifeless, but you've got it going on. So it's tremendous. Congratulations, Ethna, to you and all the crew there at Kylemore Abbey, and we'll see you soon.
Wonderful. Thanks a million,
nice to
Ryan,
talk
and
to
Happy
you.
New Year to
And the
you.
Very
Bye-bye.
Same to you and yours. Best of luck. Okay. That's at 8:30 tonight on RT1 TV. That's Great Irish Interiors. It's been a lovely programme easy on the eye. And tonight they'll be heading to Kylemore Abbey, as described by Ethna O'Halloran, who is the Abbey and Gothic Church Manager there at Kylemore Abbey. It's a beautiful place. A little church beside it is amazing, as the text says there, and it sure is. And I think that, again, I often say to myself, if I was a teacher, what would I do? If I was a teacher west of the Shannon, I would be bringing my students to Kylemore for the school tour in April or May, whenever that might be. Thinking far ahead now, spring, summer, and all the joys that go with it.